Hey friends, welcome to the Thrive Like a Parent podcast. You know those parents who look like they've got it all together? Yep, that's not me. I'm Dr. Brooke Weinstein, mom, widow, and neuroscience expert on all things sensory and emotional regulation. Yep, that's right. I'm here to get down and dirty on the truth behind parenting, education, burnout, neuroscience, widowhood, and the shit show we call life. So come join me for conversations with thought leaders, doctors, and women just like you who aren't afraid to speak the truth and help you find that silver lining between the to-do lists, shit shows, and chaos of parenthood. If you are craving the answers to finally find that sweet spot between chaos and calm, pull up a seat and listen in as I take you from burnt out and surviving to finally thriving. Today, we're going to talk about how to become a reformed people pleaser. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I used to be a raging people pleaser, like a full-blown raging people pleaser. I did everything for everyone for all the wrong reasons. I did what I thought I should do. I did what I thought I should do as a mom, what I should do as a wife, what I should do as a friend, what I should do as a sibling, like you name it, as a career person, like you name it, I did it. And if you ever find yourself saying yes to things you have absolutely no time or energy for or to complete, and you maybe even shy away from difficult conversations, or you find it really difficult to ask for help, or you never accept help when it's given, you could potentially be a people pleaser. When I first started out as a mom, I wanted to do everything. I wanted to be the room mom. I wanted to be involved in everything. I also owned a business at the time, which is like crazy to own a business and think that I could be the room mom and show up and carpool every day. And like, you name it, I wanted to do it. And little by little, what I found is that I was chipping away at myself in order to give to others, and I was absolutely drowning. And it got to the point where I ended up selling my business. And one of the reasons I sold my business, one of the biggest reasons I sold my business, is because I realized I was doing way too much and not anything very well. And it was all the pressure and the immense amount of pressure that I was placing on myself to do it all and be it all and show up to everything. And we all, at some level or another, everyone feels the need to please or people please to a degree. It's when it gets in the way of yourself that it's harmful. And everybody's motivations are differently, right? Personally, I like to now live in a place where I keep my inner peace. And that's what keeps me a rather regulated person, right? I tend to now go with the flow and do what's easiest, if you will. But if you do that too much and you have a voice and you push it down, you again may be people pleasing. And so I want you to really think about it. It honestly boils down to, are you enjoying your life? What is the purpose of your life, right? Believe it or not, your purpose is not to serve others, even if you're a parent. Your purpose has become something everyone must have. You must have some purpose in life. Otherwise, what's the point, right? Whether your purpose is to create art or be a civil servant, or like, you need something, right? But what if this revolutionary idea was that, what if your purpose was just to simply be? No ulterior motives, right? Your purpose is on earth is to live and enjoy your life, right? And purpose is what you make of it. It doesn't have to be a big, shiny diamond in the sky. It can be simple. You can choose to live your life fully and open-heartedly, and you get to decide what that purpose is and what that purpose looks like for you. It's absolutely possible for you to decide that serving others is your purpose, and your purpose is to help others, and that's what makes you feel so good in life. And that's totally fine, right? Like, I do that in my life, right? I knew from a very, 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 very young age that I wanted to help others. I wanted to be able to serve others. I found occupational therapy when I was a junior, I believe, in high school. And I found this facility in New Orleans and I was like, oh my gosh, what do you do? How do you do this? And I knew I wanted to help others and I knew I wanted to help specifically children with special needs. And from that point on, when I found that calling, I took every opportunity. I went to summer camps where I was a staff member and it was an incredible, incredible experience. And I helped so many different children with so many different diagnoses. And it was amazing. And I did that to make sure that that's what I wanted to do with my life. And so I'm still on that path today. That path looks different. I don't work in a hospital setting anymore. I don't own my own brick and mortar clinic anymore, but I do still continue to help others. But I do it with boundaries and I do it in a way that feels best and right for me. I do it in a way that is not in a brick and mortar anymore because that was giving too much of me. That was too much. And I realized that when I was stepping away from it because I thought and I built this story in my head of my purpose of what should my life look like. And I was giving so much to Jonathan and so much to my two children who were both preemies and giving so much to my business. And I was absolutely drowning, like completely drowning. And the craziest part is that I had built all this myself. I wanted these things. I created this life. And then when I got it, I recognized, oh my gosh, I don't necessarily feel that this is something that I'm enjoying, right? So you need to really listen in and think about what is your purpose? What is your purpose in life? And that can start the conversation for how to reform your people pleasing, right? So I started looking at, am I enjoying being on the committee? Do I enjoy going to these meetings? No, I'd rather be at the gym and giving myself some time for me. Okay, check, we're done with the committees. Do I enjoy being room mom? You bet, I absolutely loved being room mom. I loved being able to go to all the things and do all the things and be the person who always got to be the first one in the room rather than any volunteers, you know, to be able to witness all those moments. I loved that. But did I have enough time and energy for that? I did not. I did not have enough time and energy for that. And so I said, okay, there are others who can do that. I can still show up. I can still volunteer. I can still be the mystery reader. I can still go have lunch with my kids at school. I can do all these things, but I may not necessarily need to be the room mom in order to tell myself that I'm doing this well or that I'm a good parent. And so I took that off the list. So now I'm going to walk you through the process of how to begin putting yourself first. So number one that I like to talk about is that you can't actually please everyone. And I'm sure you're like, duh, obviously, like I hear you, right? But for me, this was the genuine revelation and something I've had to remind myself over and over and over again. And when you're a people pleaser, you do somehow end up believing it is totally possible to please everyone. And if you just try hard enough. Now, I spoke recently about my relationship with Jonathan and how I finally started putting myself first and taking care of myself through that journey. And this was one of the biggest things that I had to really revel in and really listen to that voice of and really do that pattern shifting in my brain of that I can't actually please everyone. And I think that we all get so fearful that either A, someone won't like us or B, someone will think we're bad or that we're not doing it the right way. And I talked a lot about that in that last podcast of people were telling me even after Jonathan passed that I did do things wrong. And I had to be able to say, I can't please everyone. I have to trust myself and know that I've either A, done enough, or you can literally wave the white flag and say, okay, if I can't please everyone and I'm drowning and I'm trying to please everyone, and I know at the end of the day, it'll never actually be what I think it will be. Why don't I just wave the white flag and finally start taking care of myself first? Because this is so hard to take care of everyone else around me and I'm collateral damage through that, that maybe if I start taking care of myself, it will also allow the others around me to trust them enough to know that they can take care of themselves as well. Now, I understand that we have to support our children and sometimes they can't take care of themselves. But it is the work as a parent to continue supporting them into becoming independent humans. Now, the next step, number two, that I like to talk about with reform people pleasing is, it is so tiring and confusing to be a chameleon. Ever since I can remember, I had this special skill for controlling or contorting or whatever you want to call it, right? Myself into whatever type of person I thought people really needed me to be. And I would adapt myself to make things feel easier or more comfortable for others. I would continue asking the questions so there's no awkward silence. I would do it to keep the peace, or I would make sure nobody got hurt. And being a chameleon has taken its toll. Like, it literally takes its toll. And a lifetime of wishy-washiness leaves you disconnected from what you truly think and feel for yourself. Because when I finally did this work of releasing the people pleasing, it took me some soul searching and time to finally figure out like who I was and what my opinions were and what I did want out of this life and my purpose and my goals, as I was speaking on earlier. A lot of time and effort has gone into reconnecting with the real me, the one behind the many masks that I used to wear. And it takes courage, because I can only assume that one of the reasons I became a people pleaser in the first place was because I was scared about how people would respond to the true me without all the politeness and smiles, right? And I often hear from people, I actually heard from someone yesterday who I got together with for the first time. And she was like, "Thanks so much for getting deep so fast." And I was like, "Oh yeah." And I've heard that a lot in the last few years of my life. And I believe it's because once you release that chameleon side of you and you strip that portion away and you are brutally, brutally honest with yourself, there's nothing left but deep and real and honest. And if I want to get to know you, like, I want to get to know you. Like, I want to know what's going on in your world. I don't just want to know, like, how's the weather? Like, what dog food does your dog eat? Like, I could give two shits. But sometimes we will sit there at a luncheon or a something and we will ask those crazy questions because we are so uncomfortable with silence. Now, the third thing I like to talk about is I people please less when I'm around my people. Okay. And you can put like quotes around my people. With certain people in certain situations, I seem to shed this part of myself. And it feels so freeing to the point where I only now surround myself with people who are my people. And that may be a small group of people. And that's okay, because it is exhausting to be that chameleon. It is so fulfilling to be able to be around others who not only accept me for me, they aren't judgy of me. I can be my full-blown self around these humans. And what I find is that I draw myself towards other individuals who are just themselves and individuals who encourage me just to be me. Those are my people. And through the process of releasing the people pleasing, I did have to shed. And it is hard. It's scary. It's, if you have a community that you've been shoved into because of maybe where you live or your religious affiliation or the town or the, you know, community or the school or whatever it is, and you're like, hi, and you've like built this group, but you just don't necessarily feel like you belong, that is your gut saying, you're chameleoning all over the place. Maybe you should listen in. And I know it's hard, but you can find those people. Now, the next one I want to talk about is when I am not sure which way to turn, I use my values as a compass, right? And this number four of using my compass, like, what does that look like? Often when I find myself in a people-pleasing moment, and I lose touch with my values and instead start following along with what matters to others at the cost of what matters to me, right? This is a trade-off of being a people pleaser and you can keep everyone on one side by not rocking the boat, right? But sometimes you end up feeling like you stand for nothing and even feel a little bit blah because it wasn't really what you wanted, right? And when I find myself wavering in the midst of a people-pleasing moment, I find it really helpful to ask myself, what feels right for me? How do I feel right now, right? Irrespective of the voices around me. I don't always act on what feels right for me for various reasons, but just asking myself this helps strengthen this muscle in your brain and this muscle of being more authentic and real and owning your voice. One example of this that I can give you is when I was deciding to sell my brick and mortar. I had so many who loved me, giving me so many inputs of, Brooke, you've built this career. You've been at this business for 6-7 years. Like, you have built it into a 3,000 square foot facility. Like, you are one of the top clinics in New Orleans. Like, how could you just walk away and leave that? Like, your career matters too, not just Jonathan's. And I had to really listen into my values and trust in myself. It was a big moment of trust for myself. And that leads me into the next thought, number 5, of being honest with yourself is kind. One of my big fears about turning down the volume on my people-pleasing ways used to be that people would think I was unkind or rude or dominating or controlling or, God forbid, bitchy, right? And I'm still convincing myself on this one every now and then. But I'm realizing more and more, and I continue to throughout the years, that being more honest about what I believe or what I need or what I want to do is not the same as being nasty or selfish. And this is a real big one for most individuals. They feel that having a voice, they feel that saying no, they feel that just honestly being honest is selfish. I'll give you an example. Hey, I'd love to know if you can come over to play with the kids after school today. Have you ever made up some cockamamie, like BS excuse of like, oh no, sorry, has this today. And like, oh, it's gonna, oh, thank you so much for coming. Like, you could just say thank you so much for inviting us. Please include us again. I can't thank you enough. I really wish we could, but we just can't for today. Period. The end. Period. The end. There doesn't need to be some grand like explanation of like, it doesn't, right? It is okay to just be honest of like, I just don't know if I feel like doing that tonight. Or if someone asks you a question, thank you so much for asking that. Unfortunately, I just don't really feel like talking about that right now. Like, ooh, that probably gave you a little nerve, like ding. It is totally okay. You can thank them. Thank you so much. That was so kind of you for asking that. I really, really appreciate your concern or interest, or I just don't, you know, let's just talk about something else. It is okay. And being honest is also part of having boundaries, which is such a big piece of being a reformed people pleaser. Now, if you've always been a people pleaser, some people may not be head over heels with you when you try this out. Again, I spoke on this a little bit with Jonathan in my podcast a week or so ago. And when I did do the reforming of the people pleasing, he had no idea what to do with it, to the point where I told you, he called me batshit crazy. And I was like, no, I'm not. Some even partnerships might buck. They might hoot and holler and have tantrums, if you will, because and lash out because they don't understand it. They may even tell you straight up. And you know what? As upsetting and unsettling as those moments can be, at least you know you're standing firm in backing yourself. And often people who we most need to set boundaries with are the people who least like us setting those boundaries. And I feel like I should probably say that again. The people who you need most to set boundaries with are the people who will least likely enjoy you setting those boundaries. They will push back. They will lash out. They will use guilt as a way to try to get you to go back to your old ways. And it can feel really crappy and unnerving when you try out new ways of being in older relationships. But it also allows you to question that and then step back forward with, no, wait, this is right for me. Because it's worth the effort of knowing that you're not sacrificing your own needs for other people's. And within a partnership, within a dynamic, everyone's needs matter, but we can't sacrifice our own needs over and over and over and over and over again for another and then expect to have a beautiful, healthy, loving, connected relationship. And so it is okay if things get a little wild, a little unnerving for a little. Now, one thing to note, if you become a reformed people pleaser, you will become more visible. I've lived a lot of my life trying to keep the peace, right? But when you finally decide to own your voice, you can't fly under the radar as much, but that's okay. It is okay. I often find that being one-on-one or in a smaller group, I tend to enjoy more because then I can really connect with other humans rather than it being surface level. But I think it's still easier for me to continue showing up as me when it is that smaller group, when it is that sense of safety for me that I can continue being visible and showing up for myself, which is so crazy, right? Because I do have a large audience. And this has honestly taken time for me to share. Like, it took me a year and a half to share with you what happened to Jonathan. A year and a half. But it's because I've started to own my voice. And I did it very slowly and listened in to what felt best and right for me. And then the last part I want to talk to you about is acceptance and patience is really, really key with this. One of the things that's helped most of my clients, as well as myself, to push into, or push, I guess you could say, out of those people-pleasing ways is to accept where I'm in at the process. Accept exactly where I'm at. And through conversations with trusted people in my life, I have much more insight into this aspect of who I am. And unfortunately, insight doesn't always lead to change, at least not straight away, but awareness is literally the first place to start. And the awareness and the acceptance of where you're at is key. Now, your heart will always want to do what is right and beautiful. And there will always be people who want you to be someone else. Those people may not be your people, but listening into yourself, right? Pausing, asking yourself, how do I feel? Is this something I feel like doing or something I think I should do? Is this something I need to do, want to do, or should do? Maybe I should start saying no. When these feelings come up for you, you get to decide, going all the way back to the beginning of this conversation of like that purpose in your life of like, how do you want your life to look? I have to tell you, my life looks completely different than it did, not just because of what I've been through, but my life looks completely different than it used to look. But it's because of the layers that I have shed. And one of the biggest gifts of doing this work with clients is getting to observe their own shedding and their own people pleasing. And it is truly part of mental health is releasing your people pleasing tendencies, because if you're doing everything for everyone else, you're not doing for yourself, not nearly as much as you should. And if you're not doing enough for yourself, then that means that your mental health is suffering. That means that you are neglecting yourself. And so many of us do it. I'm going to leave you with one last thing. People pleasing and being a reformed people pleaser, it's not all bad. It's not all negative. It's when we can find a balance, right? Of meeting our own needs as well as those we love, right? Being a people pleaser for me, I feel that I have gained a deep sense of empathy, the ability to foster genuine, true connections with individuals. I'm great at advocating on behalf of others, right? And my clients, seeing the harshness and the strength and talent in others. And I'm really good at managing conflict. And that's because I used to be able to keep the peace and now I'm more vocal. And so I've got both. But living in integrity with yourself, aligning yourself to your own purpose, that takes time, that takes energy, that takes effort. But don't ever settle. Don't ever settle for showing up in the world just simply for others. Because when you continue to self-neglect, when you continue to support others and not yourself, it does eat away at you. And so start small. Take these steps that I've given you. And remind yourself that you're worthy, even if it ruffles feathers. You're so worthy. And until next time, XOXO, Dr. B.